It's true that some things change as we get older. But if you're a woman over 40 and you're dealing with insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, you don't have to accept it as just another part of aging. And with Midi Health, you can get help and stop pushing through it alone. The experts at Midi understand that all these symptoms can be connected to the hormonal changes that happen around menopause. And Midi can help you feel more like yourself again. Many healthcare providers aren't trained to treat or even recognize menopause symptoms. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts. They're dedicated to providing safe, effective, FDA-approved solutions for dozens of hormonal symptoms, not just hot flashes. Most importantly, they're covered by insurance. 91% of MIDI patients get relief from symptoms within just 2 months. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
New York, where the American stage begins, NBC presents Best Plays with John Chapman. Best Plays, a series of hour-length dramas based on the famous theatrical books begun by the late Burns Mantle, now edited by the distinguished drama critic of the New York Daily News, John Chapman. Mr. Chapman.
Good evening. Our play this time is one of Maxwell Anderson's most eloquent historical dramas, The Elizabeth the Queen. This play made its first appearance in 1930 with Lynn Fontanne in the title role and Alfred Lunt as the Earl of Essex. That was the season, you may remember, in which a Civic Repertory Theater production, Allison's House, won the Pulitzer Prize. And of course, Eva Le Gallienne was in the leading role. The same Eva Le Gallienne who is going to play Queen Elizabeth for us on this broadcast. With her, as Essex, we have that able young actor, Richard Waring. In the city of London, on a day late in the reign of Queen Elizabeth, there is considerable excitement. Today, the Queen will hold council, and it is known that her favorite, the Lord of Essex, will attend. Recently rebuked by Elizabeth because of a fruitless expedition to Spain, Essex had retired to his home at Wanstock. Now, it is morning, and in an entrance hall outside the council chamber, Penelope Gray, a lady in waiting, is met by Sir Walter Raleigh.
Greetings, lady, from my heart.
Good morrow, Lord. From my soul.
I take my oath in your face that you are rushing to the window to witness the arrival of my Lord of Essex.
And in your teeth, I swear I'm on no such errand, but only to see the sun rise.
The sun has been up this hour, my dear.
The more reason to hurry, gracious knight.
Tell me truthfully, Penelope, did the Queen send you to look out the casement for news of her Essex, or did you come at the prompting of your own heart?
Shall I tell the truth, Sir Walter?
Verily.
The truth is I cannot answer.
Both, then?
Both. Or one or neither.
Good morrow, Sir Walter. Is the Queen still under canopy?
I know not, Captain Armand.
The Earl is here and would see her.
She is dressed and stirring, Captain, and awake, my lord. Come, I'll take you to her, and you can make your announcement.
So, the heavenly boy, clad in the regalia of the sun, even now extracts his gallant foot from his golden stirrup and makes shift to descend from his heaving charger. Acclamation lifts in every voice, tears well in every eye. With the exception of mine.
And mine, Sir Walter.
Ah, Sir Robert, then you know our Lord of Essex has arrived.
Truth, I no longer stomach Lord Essex.
Nor I.
Has it ever occurred to you that if he could be sent from England, there might be a chance to come between them?
Would she let him go?
No. But if he could be teased and stung about his generalship till he was too angry to reflect. Let us say you were proposed as general for the expedition to Ireland.
Thank you, no. He'd let me go and I'd be sunk in a bog this next 300 years. I've seen enough good men try to conquer Ireland.
Well, then how would this be? We name 3 men for Ireland of his own supporters. He will oppose them, not wishing his party weakened at the court. And then we ask what he suggests and hint at his name for leader.
Good, so so far.
He will be angry and hint at your name. You will offer to go if he will.
Not to Ireland.
Yes. Do you think he'd let you go with him and share the military glory? It will go hard, having once brought up his name, if we do not manage to ship him alone to Dublin.
We can try it, then. Always remembering that no matter what is said, no matter what I say or you, I do not go. You must get me out of that, for I know Ireland.
I will.
When is the council?
At 9.
Then you make these suggestions?
Yes.
At 9, then.
Be easy.
Essex, I would speak with you.
Yes, Sir Francis.
You're going to the Queen?
Yes, God help us both.
Then hear me for a moment.
Speak, Schoolmaster Bacon.
Listen to me this once. You have quarreled with the Queen against my judgment.
Can a man quarrel or avoid a quarrel at will?
Certainly, if he knows his way.
Not I.
You quarreled with her because she wished to keep peace. And you wanted war.
We are at war with Spain. But such a silly, frightened, womanish war is only a woman would fight.
She is a woman and fights a womanish war.
But if we are at war, why not let some blood?
But ask yourself one question and answer it honestly, dear Essex. And perhaps you will see then why I speak sharply. You are my friend and patron. Where you gain, I gain. Where you lose, I lose. But I see you riding straight to a fall today. And I'd rather your neck weren't broken.
Ask myself what question?
Ask yourself what you want. To retain the favor of the Queen, remain her favorite, keep all that goes with this, or set yourself against her and trust your fortune to popular favor.
I'll not answer that.
Then I have done.
Oh, forgive me. My dear friend, forgive me. You know my answer in regard to the Queen. I must keep her favor. Only I cannot endure it. It maddens me, this utter mismanagement, when a man's hand and brain are needed and cannot be used.
Let me answer for you. You are not forthright with yourself. You have caught the people's hearts till the streets ring your name whenever you pass. You are loved better than the Queen. That is your danger. She will not suffer a subject to eclipse her. She cannot suffer it. Make no mistake, she will not.
And I must wait, hold myself back.
There is one man in all her kingdom she fears, and that man's yourself. She has good reason to fear you. You are a man not easily governed, rebellious, moreover a general, popular and acclaimed. And last, she loves you, which makes you the more to be feared. Whether you love her or not?
I do love her, I do.
My lord, a man as young as you...
If she were my mother's kitchen hag, toothless and wooden-legged... She'd make all others colorless.
You play dangerously here, my lord.
I've never yet loved or hated for policy nor a purpose. I tell you she's a witch and has a witch's brain. I love her. I fear her. I hate her. I adore her.
That side of it you must know for yourself.
I will walk softly. Here's my hand. Distress yourself no more.
Only count not too much on the loves of queens.
I'll remember...
Good morrow, my lord.
Good morrow, Penelope. Have I kept the Queen?
Would I acknowledge Her Majesty would wait for you?
I commend me to your discretion.
Only to my discretion.
Take her what message you will. Only tell her I am here.
My lord, may I have one moment? She's not quite ready.
As many as you like. What is it, my dear?
Do you love the Queen?
Is that a fair question as between maid and man?
An honest question.
Then I will answer honestly. Yes, my dear.
Dearly?
Yes.
I would you loved someone who loved you better.
Meaning whom?
No one. Myself, perhaps, that's no one. Or anyone who loved you better.
Does she not love me, my sweet?
She loves you. Loves you not. Loves you, loves you not.
And why do you tell me this?
Because I am afraid.
For me?
I have heard her, when she thought she was alone, walk up and down her room soundlessly, night long, cursing you. Cursing you because she must love you and could not help herself. swearing to be even with you for this love she scorns to bear you. My lord, you anger her too much.
But is this not common to lovers?
No. I have never cursed you. And I have good cause.
But if I were your lover, you would, my sweet. So thank God I am not.
I'll tell her you are here.
Your Majesty.
I'd hardly hope to see you again, my Lord of Essex, after what was vowed forever when you left.
You are unkind to remind me.
Am I indeed? You've gone a week at this one stock of yours, and a week's a long time at court. You forget that I must live and draw breath whether I see you or not. And there are other men, all fully equipped for loving and being loved.
Where do you think I've been this last week? Trying not to be here. But you see, I am here.
Yes, I see.
Why did you plague me without a word?
Why did you not come?
You are a queen, my queen. You let it be known. I would not be admitted if I came.
I may have meant it at the time.
I think I have a demon, and you are it.
If ever a mocking devil tortured a woman, you're my devil and torture me. Let us part and quickly, or there'll be worse to come. Go.
I will not.
Come to me, my Essex. Let us be kind for a moment. I will be kind. You need not be. You're young and strangely winning and strangely sweet. My heart goes out to you wherever you are, and something in me has drawn you. But this same thing that draws us together hurts and blinds us until we strike at each other. This has gone on a long while. It grows worse with the years. It will end badly. Go, my dear, and do not see me again.
Oh, this is what I said when last I went away.
Love someone else, my dear. I will forgive you.
What would you have to forgive? I have tried to love others. It's empty as ashes.
What others?
No one.
What others?
Everyone. If we must quarrel when we meet, why then let us quarrel. At least we can quarrel together.
I think if we are to love, we must love and be silent. For when we speak...
I'll be silent then. You shall speak. If you would sometimes heed me. Only sometimes. Only when I'm right. If you would say to yourself that even your lover might be right sometimes.
But you were wrong. A campaign into Spain's pure madness. Think of the drain in men and the drain on the treasury.
There's no richer country in Europe in men or money than England. It's this same ancient, unprofitable niggardliness that pinches pennies and wastes a world of treasure.
Never yet has a warlike expedition brought me back what it cost.
You've tried half measure. If we are to trifle, we might better sit at home forever and rot.
Seems to me we rot to some purpose here. I have kept the peace and kept my people happy and prosperous. They've had time for music and poetry.
And at what a cowardly
price. I am no coward either. It requires more courage not to fight than to fight when one is surrounded by hasty hotheads urging campaigns in all directions.
They will set you down in histories as the weasel queen who fought and ran away.
Is it my fame you think of, or your own, my lord? Have you not built your name high enough? When we ride in the streets, it's Essex they cheer, and not their queen.
Is it for this hollow cheering you hold me back from Spain?
It's because I believe in peace and have no faith in wars or what wars win.
You do not fear me?
I fear you, too. You believe yourself fitter to be king than I to be queen. You believe you'd rule England better because you're a man.
That last is true, I would. It's because I love you that I can see wherein you fail. It's because you cannot act and think like a man.
Why should I think like a man when a woman thinks wiser? What do you plan? To take over the kingdom? To pose me?
You are a touchy queen.
I had bad bringing up. Tell me, my dear, do I tire you? Do I wear upon you a little?
Never.
Well, you'd have to say that because you wouldn't hurt me and because I'm your queen. And so I'll never know until everyone else has known and is laughing at me when I've lost you. Wait! Let me say this, please. When the time does come and I seem
are not old. I will not have you old.
And you love someone else? Tell me the first. Will you do that in all kindness, in memory of a great love past? No, you could not. It's not in a man to be kind that way, nor in a woman to take it kindly. I think I'd kill you in a first blind rage.
Kill me when I can say it.
Love, will you let me say one more thing that will hurt you?
Anything.
Your blood's on fire to lead a new command now that you've won so handsomely in Spain. And when I need a general anywhere, you'll ask to go. Don't ask it, and don't go. You're better here in London.
Was this all you wanted? To make me promise this?
Not for myself, I swear it. Not because I think you reckless with men and money, though I do think that. Not because you might return in too much triumph and take my kingdom from me, which I can imagine. And not because I want to keep you here and hate to risk you, though that's also true. But rather, and for this you must forgive me, because you're more a poet than a general, and I fear you might fail and lose what you have gained if you went again.
Whom would you send?
I asked you not to be angry.
Not to be angry? How do you judge a leader except by whether he wins or loses? Was it by chance you think I won at Cadiz?
Very well, you shall go. Go if you will. Only I love you, and I say what would be wiser.
You choose the one thing I must have, and you ask me not to ask it. No, forgive me.
I'll not say it again.
But if I'm more poet than general, then poets on occasion make better generals than generals do.
You've proved it so on more than one occasion.
The council is met. The council.
Now we shall hear about Ireland if Cecil has his way. One thing remember, you must not go to Ireland.
No, that's a war I'm content to miss.
Thank God for that much, then. I've been afraid Ireland might tempt you. Now what can come between us out of heaven or hell or Spain or England?
Nothing. Never again.
The council is in order. What business is there before us?
Your Majesty.
Sir Robert Cecil.
There is one perpetual subject, Your Majesty, which we take up time after time and always leave unsettled, but which has come to a place where we must act one way or another. Tyrone's rebellion at Ulster is no longer a smoldering coal, but a running fire spreading north to south. We must conquer Ireland finally now, or give over what we have won.
Lord Burley, you shall speak first. What's to be done in Ireland?
We must stamp out this fire or lose the island.
This means men, money, ships?
Yes, madam.
And more than that, a leader.
What leader?
The best man we have.
What man? Name one.
We should send a proved and able general of no less rank than Lord Howard here. Lord Essex. Sir Walter Raleigh. Knollys or Mountjoy?
I ask you for one and you name a dozen, Sir Robert.
Why should one go alone if it comes to that? Why not two expeditions? One to Dublin, one into Ulster, meeting halfway.
Are there two who could work together?
Knollys and Mountjoy. They are friends and of one house.
Yes, of my house.
Essex, whom would you name?
Why, since Sir Robert feels free to name my followers, I shall feel free to name one or two of his.
In other words, you would rather Knollys and Mountjoy did not go.
I will spare one of them. If Sir Robert will let Sir Francis Vere go with him.
Lord Essex names Sir Francis Vere because he knows full well I cannot spare him, Elise.
Is this appointment to wait for all our private bickerings? Can we send no man of worth to Ireland simply because to do so would weaken some house or party here at court?
I hope I betray no secret, Sir Walter, if I tell the council that I spoke with you before the session and asked you if you would go into Ireland if the Queen requested it, and that you said yes, should the Queen desire it.
That's good answer.
But I believe, as Sir Walter believes, there should be more than one hand in this. that if he goes, Lord Essex should go with him.
With him?
In what capacity?
A leading and equal command. Two generals of coeval power landing north and south and meeting to crush Tyrone.
Would you set up two Lord Protectors in Ireland?
It was my thought that we name Raleigh as Lord Protector.
And I under him?
So it seemed to me.
This is deliberate! An insult planned!
It is no insult, my lord, but plain truth. I speak for the good of the state.
You lie! You have never spoken here or elsewhere for any cause but your own.
No more of this!
Am I to swallow this from a clerk, a pen pusher? To be told I may have second place for the good of the state?
Whoever makes you angry is one already.
They have planned this.
I say no more. Raleigh will go to Ireland as Lord Protector and go alone if the Queen asks it of him. It is a task both difficult and dangerous. I cannot blame Lord Essex for refusing to risk his fame there.
There speaks the white rat again. Yet even a rat should know. I have never refused a task out of fear. I said I would not go as second in command.
Then would you go as Lord Protector?
You've named your men. Sir Walter Raleigh.
With your Majesty's gracious permission, I'll go if Essex goes.
Is Sir Walter afraid to go alone?
I don't care for it, and neither does our Essex.
If I'm challenged to go to Ireland, then I'll go. Give me what men and horses I need, and put me in absolute charge. And if I fail to put the rebellion to sleep forever, take my sword from me and break it. I'll never use it again.
Will you
listen? They've challenged me.
If you volunteer to go to Ireland, there's none to stop you.
Your Majesty, I can see that Raleigh and Cecil have set themselves to bait me in Ireland. My lords, since this is a challenge, I go and will return.
What malicious star danced in my sky when you were born?
What malicious star danced over Ireland, you should ask?
You're a child in council. I saw them start to draw you into this and tried to warn you, but it was no use.
They drew me into nothing. I saw their purpose and topped it with my own.
You will withdraw. I'll countermand this.
And let them laugh at me?
Better they should laugh a little now than laugh at you forever.
And why not win in Ireland?
No man wins. You're so dazzled with the chance to lead an army, you'd follow the devil in an assault on heaven.
That's one thing the devil doesn't know. Heaven is always taken by storm.
I thought so as you said it. Come, touch me. Tell me all will happen well.
And so it will.
Do you want to go?
I said I would, and I will.
It's not yet too late. Remember, if you lose, that will divide us. If you win, that will divide us too.
I'll win, and it will not divide us. Is it so hard to believe in me?
No, I'll believe you and even forgive you if you need it. Here, my father gave me this ring and told me if ever he lost his temper with me to bring it to him and he'd forgive me. And so it saved my life long after when he'd forgotten, long after when one time he was angry.
Darling, if ever you're angry, rings won't help.
I'd think of you as you are now, and it would. Take it.
I have no pledge from you. I'll take it to remember you in absence.
Take it for a better reason. Take it because the years are long and full of sharp, wearing days that wear out what we are and what we have been, and change us into people we do not know living among strangers. Lest you and I, who love, should wake some morning strangers and enemies in an alien world far off. Take my ring, my lover.
You fear you will not always love me?
No, that you will not let me. That you will not let me love you.
Captain Marvel!
Yes, my lord.
How many did we lose at the landing?
30 or so, not many.
That's 30 less to wonder whether they'll see their wives again.
Mm.
But then they're lucky to be rid of Ireland. This country's barren, festering with fever bogs. There are no roads, no food. Are the men deserting?
Some, my lord.
There have been no other losses.
Only at the landing.
There was an ambush there.
Yes, my lord.
It's not losses we should fear now, though we have lost more than I would like to think. It's going on against a retreating enemy, venturing further from our base when we are not supplied. I think we have been forgotten in London. Nay, worse than forgotten.
My lord, if I may make so bold, there must be some reason for such a strange policy. The Queen has written?
Aye, she has written. Lord Essex will confine his invasion to the near coast. Lord Essex will prepare to shorten his campaign. Ah, how can one fight thus?
My lord, the men have not been paid.
Are they muttering?
They want only one thing. To follow you to London.
And why to London?
Forgive my saying this. They wish to make you king.
Have they forgotten the Queen?
They're willing to forget her.
But I am not. We wait here.
Lord of Essex?
Yes?
I'm a courier, come from the Queen. I bring you this missive.
This letter came from the Queen's hands?
It is as I received it from the Queen's hands.
Good news, my lord.
We break camp tomorrow for London.
We march tomorrow?
Yes.
Under orders from Her Majesty?
No.
My lord.
Here is her message. Lord Essex is required to disperse his men and return to the capital straightway on his own recognizance to give himself up. To give himself up!
And nothing but this?
There is a limit to my humiliation. Give the necessary orders. We embark at daybreak.
Yes, my lord.
And it is as well it falls out this way.
By right of power and popular voice, it is your kingdom, this England.
More mine than hers, as she shall learn.
There's victory in your path, my lord. The London citizens will rise at the first breath of your name.
And I am glad for England. She has lain fallow in fear too long. Her hills shall have a spring of victory. And for this order from the Queen, I received it not.
In a moment, Act Two of Elizabeth the Queen on Best Plays. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
KFI, Los Angeles, Earl C. Anthony Incorporated. Talk about investments. Here's the best one yet. Your community chest gift helps 160 different services. Boy Scouts, Salvation Army, the USO, hospitals for sick and crippled children, and many others. All of these services are supported by your community chest, by you. Make that wise investment today. Give more than ever before.
Now, Act Two of the Best Plays production of Elizabeth the Queen, starring Eva Le Gallien with Richard Waring. And here again is John Chapman.
As the curtain rises on Act Two, we are back in London. In a severe little room used by the Queen as a study, Francis Bacon is sitting when Sir Robert Cecil and Walter Raleigh enter together.
Good morrow, Master Bacon.
And to you, my lord.
You are here to see the Queen?
The Queen has been good enough to send for me.
It was my wish to speak with you first, and it is my opinion that it will be the better for all of us if I do so now, late as it is.
I am barely on time, gentlemen.
You need answer one question only.
Yes, my lord.
You have been in correspondence with Lord Essex in Ireland?
Perhaps.
The Queen has this morning received news warning her that Lord Essex is allied with the Irish rebels and is even now leading his army back to England to usurp her throne. Have you heard this?
No.
Do you credit it?
It is your own scheme, I believe.
that Essex should rebel against the Queen?
Even so.
You accuse us of treason?
If the Queen were aware of certain matters, she would herself accuse you of treason.
What matters?
I prefer that the Queen should question me.
Look to yourself, Master Bacon. We know what the Queen will ask you, and we know what you may answer.
Speak it out to him.
Softly, softly. In brief, Master Bacon, if you intend to accuse any man of suppression of letters written by Essex to the Queen, or of the suppression of letters sent by the Queen to Essex, you will be unable to prove these assertions, and you will argue yourself very neatly into the tower.
My lord, I had no such business in mind.
What then?
I hope I can keep my own counsel. The truth is, my lord, you are desperate men. You have overreached yourselves. And if the wind of it gets to the royal ears, you are done.
Well, we shall drag a few down with us if we are done, though, and you are the first.
You have a poor estimate of me, Master Bacon. If you go into the Queen and reveal to her that her letters to Essex have not reached him, as you mean to do, the Queen will then send for me, and I will send for Lord Essex's last letter to you, containing a plan for the capture of the City of London. It will interest you to know that I have read that letter, and you are learned enough in the law to realize in what light you will stand as a witness, should the Queen see it.
I think it is true, though, that if I go down, I shall also drag a few with me, including those here present.
Master Bacon, it would be easier for both you and us if you were on our side.
You must expect a man to side with his friends.
You have served Lord Essex well, and I believe he has made you promises. But the moment Essex enters England in rebellion, he is doomed, and his friends with him.
And we have news this morning that Lord Essex has already landed in England and set up his standard here. He is a rebel.
When a man is once a rebel, do you think there will be any careful inquiry into how he happened to become one?
Essex in England?
In England. And has neglected to disband his army.
You speak of explanations between the Queen and Essex. Unless you betray us, there will be no explanations. They are at war now. They will never meet again.
Master Bacon, I have heard that you are a shrewd man.
Flattery, Majesty, flattery.
I've heard it, and in a sort I believe it. Tell me one thing. Are you Essex's friend?
Since I have known him.
There's a dangerous man to follow. Would you forget this Essex of yours?
If you ask it, if there is reason.
There is reason. He has taken up arms against me in England.
Are you sure of this?
Is it so hard to believe?
Without proofs, it is. You have proofs?
Proof, good enough. You know the punishment for treason. From what I've heard of late, both you and Essex should remember that punishment.
Madam, for myself, I have no need to fear. And if Lord Essex has, I am more than mistaken in him.
If that were true, if there were only the sound of one honest voice, I must rule England. And they say he is rebel to me. And day and night, waking, sleeping, and counsel, there is always one thing crying out in me over and again. I hear it crying. He cannot fail me. Me, both woman and queen. But I have written him my love, and he has not answered. What do you know of this?
If I knew why, I would know much. Have you angered him, sent arbitrary orders?
I've ordered him to disband his forces and return. I've cut off all revenue and supplies.
But, madam, to send a popular leader out with an army and then check him suddenly, heap disgrace upon him. He has great pride.
He has rebelled, then. I wrote him lovingly.
And he answered nothing?
Nothing.
Oh, that could not be excused.
No. It cannot be. It will not be. They say a woman's mind is an airless room where she must walk alone, saying, he loves me not. The world goes by all shadows, and there are voices, all echoes, till he speaks. And there's no light till his presence makes a light there in that room. But I am a queen. He sought to break me down by not answering. Break me until I'd say, I'm yours. I'm all yours. What I am and have, all yours. That I will never, never, never say. I am not broken yet.
Nor will be, Majesty.
We must forget him. See him no more, my friend. He walks on quicksand. Avoid him.
Yes, Majesty.
Go now, go. You have done well. I trust you.
Madam, I entreat you earnestly that you speak with me alone for a moment.
There is nothing you can tell me, Sir Robert, that I would not wish you to say here before the court.
But if your Majesty were aware of the nature of this business...
I am aware. Lord Essex is on his way hither. I shall be glad to see him. Let him bring his revolution here. How long think you it will last after I have looked on it, and after it has looked on me?
Madam, there are 500 of the Royal Guard at the tower, and other troops are available. They must be posted strongly at once. There is urgent haste.
We thank you kindly, Sir Robert, but with your gracious permission, we will do nothing about it.
Madam, I beseech you, let me take charge of this.
Stay where you are, all of you. You, Lord Burley, you too. I'll have no slipping away. This court wriggles like a mess of eels. Stay where you are. There is to be no guard posted. There are to be no steps taken. None.
Your Majesty, a great number of people are coming through Fleet Street, and they've sacked the grocers and broken into a wine merchant's cellar. It is said they will break into Fleet Prison and set all free.
Not they. If they've broken into a wine cellar, they'll get no farther. We're a marvelous people, we English, but we cannot hold liquor. Now, if they were Scotch, one might worry. What are they saying, these wine drinkers?
I cannot tell you that, Your Majesty.
Are they not crying up with Essex, down with Elizabeth?
Yes, madam.
Why, surely, what else would they be crying? Up with Essex, viva! Down with Elizabeth, abba! The Queen is dead. Long live the King. If I were there, I'd cry it myself. It has a marvelous ring. Up with Essex. Down with Elizabeth.
What are we to do, madam?
What is the Lord Mayor doing about all this, sirrah?
Nothing, madam.
How like a Lord Mayor. And how sensible. That's the first principle of government. Never do anything. Let the others make all the mistakes.
Majesty, Lord Essex has landed from the river with a complement of soldiers. As captain of your Majesty's guard, I ask authority to act immediately. I alone will be responsible if he enters here.
No, Sir Walter, I alone will be responsible.
But your Majesty, this is madness. Defend the Queen! Defend the Queen!
Make way for the Lord.
Hand back the Lord! Let him enter. You come with a file of soldiers at your back, my Lord of Essex.
Do I need them, Your Majesty?
No.
You have your orders, Marvel. Stay with your men.
Yes, my lord.
They told me you would not see me.
They were wrong. I will see you. Seems you're in rebellion. State your grievance, if you have grievance. For myself, I have a great affection for rebels, being one myself much of the time.
As to my being a rebel, that's for you to judge. But being newly arrived from Ireland and bearing news of your subjects there, I venture to come to see you.
And your army. You have an army with you?
I have brought my men home to London.
You received my orders, no doubt, directing you to disband.
I did. But is your Majesty not aware that an army turned loose becomes a mob?
And who paid them, then? I believe your supplies were cut off.
I have paid them.
They are then in your service?
In my service, and therefore... devotedly yours.
And Ireland? How of Ireland?
I could have conquered Ireland had you given me time. I left it worse than I found it.
An honest answer, at any rate. So, you held no parleys with our friend Tyrone?
I did. It was part of my plan.
Your plan? Your plan? Why did you write me nothing of this? Your plan? Am I a witch? To find out what happens on the far side of the Irish Sea without being told?
I wrote you...
masterly letters, brief, to the point, wasting no words. In short, nothing.
I know not what your Majesty means by that. I wrote you fully, and in answer received no reply.
You wrote me?
Many times.
Oh. And had no letters from me?
None.
For God! If the couriers were tampered with, there shall be some necks stretched here. My lord,
I wish to speak with my Lord Essex here alone. Leave us.
Dear Queen, do you think it's safe?
Leave us!
What did you write me?
I wrote you my love, for I thought you loved me then. And I pled with you not to bring me home in the midst of my mission. And then, at last, angrily, for I had not heard, but always to say I loved you, always.
But is this true?
Would I lie?
Someone has lied and will pay with his life if this is true.
What did you write to me?
I wrote, my love, God keep you safe. And then, not hearing, I wrote, God knows what madness as to a rebel thinking you no longer mine, faithless, thinking...
I was in torment. I... Forgive me.
How I hated you. Planned to put you to torture.
I have been in torture.
Put your arms around me if you love me. Do you still love me?
Yes.
Yes, yes. Ah, if this were false, then truly, then I should die. I thought because I was older, you see, someone else.
No one. Never a breath.
Is it all as before?
We have not changed.
No.
Then hell's vanished and here's heaven risen out of it. A little heaven of years in the midst of desolate centuries.
Oh, we have so few years. Let us make them doubly sweet, these years we have. Let us make this our pact now. For the fates are desperate to part us, and the very gods envy this happiness we pluck out of loss and death.
If two stand shoulder to shoulder against the gods, happy together, the gods themselves are helpless against them while they stand so.
Love, I will be your servant. Command me. What would you have?
Why, nothing.
Take this, my world, my present in your hands. You shall stand back of my chair, and together we shall build an England to make the old world wonder and the new world worship. Nay, what is this doubt in your brow?
It troubles me to be dishonest. If you had but shown anger, I could have spoken easily. It's not easy now, but speak I must. And I say this in all friendliness and love. The throne is yours by right of descent and by possession. But if this were a freer time, if there were elections, I should carry the country before me. And this being true, and we being equal in love, should we not be equal in power as well?
We are equal. I have made you so.
Yes, but still it's all yours. Yours to grant me now or take away.
How could this will be otherwise?
Am I not, and I say this in all love, as worthy to be king as you to be queen? Must you be sovereign alone?
Oh, you are young in policy, my Essex. If I should grant high place to you now, it would show ill to the kingdom. You would be believed. It would be believed that you had forced this on me. It would be called a revolution. It would undermine all confidence.
Would you trust me as king?
No.
And are you reluctant still to give up your prerogatives?
Yes.
Then now, when the country is mine, the court is in my hands, you my prisoner, must I send my men away, disband my army, give back your kingdom to you, and know I have been king for a moment only and never will again?
I am your prisoner.
The palace and the city are in my hands. This England is mine now for the taking.
This is your friendship. This is your love.
As water finds its level, so power goes to him who can use it. And soon or late, the name of king follows where power is.
Now I do know at last what it was you wanted. You wanted my kingdom. You have it. Make the best of it, and so shall I. What are your plans?
I have none.
The tower, the block? You could hardly take a queen prisoner and have no thought of her destiny.
These are heroics. You know you're as free as air. Is it so hard to share your power with your love? I could have had all, and I offer to share with you.
Let's have no more pretense. pretending. You do not love me, no, nor want me.
God knows I want you. I wanted power, believed myself fitted to hold it, but not without you.
If you wanted me, would you rise and strike at me with an army? Never. You'd have come to me quietly, and we'd have talked of it together as lovers should, and we'd both have our way and none the wiser. But not take the palace, hold me prisoner, no. What you truly wanted, you've taken, and that is all you shall have. This is your kingdom, but I am not yours.
But I am yours, and always have been.
If I could have given freely, but not to a victor. Put me where I will do least harm.
I cannot, could not, will not. I ask one word from you. Give me this one word, and these soldiers shall leave, and you shall be free.
I'll believe that when it happens.
I'll believe you when you promise.
Then I promise. You shall share the realm with me. As I am queen, I promise it.
Then, this is my answer. Marvel! Marvel!
Yes, my lord.
Return the palace into the queen's hand. Retire with all our forces to the strand. Release all prisoners. Release the queen's guard and send them to their stations.
Form for retire!
Form for retire!
Form for retire!
Ready to march!
All ready, Captain!
March!
The order is obeyed. Come, let us forget this matter of thrones and kingdoms and be but you and me a while.
Have you kept your word indeed?
I have kept my word.
If I clapped my hands, would my guard come now? Or yours?
Yours only. Shall I call them?
No, I'll call them. Ah, to be sure, I have a guard once more.
Your Majesty.
Captain, has the palace been returned? It is in our hands?
Yes, Majesty.
Ah. I have ruled England a long time, my Essex, and I have found that he who would rule must be quite friendless, without mercy, without love. Guards, arrest Lord Essex.
What?
Arrest Lord Essex!
Come on.
Take him to the tower and keep him safe.
Is this a jest?
I never jest when I play for kingdoms, my Lord of Essex.
I trusted you.
I trusted you and learned from you that no one can be trusted. I will remember that.
Lest that should be all you ever have to remember, Your Majesty. Take care what you do.
I shall take care.
Why should you weep, Penelope?
I ask myself why I should weep for Essex. He never wept for me.
The Earl's not dead yet, remember?
No.
And she'll never let it happen.
The clock struck five. He's to die at six.
Why has she not sent to him?
We were awake all night. She's been waiting for word from him, but he's as silent as if he wanted to die.
Will she let them kill him if he says nothing?
She wants him to beg her pardon or something like that. But he's not said a word or sent a message since his arrest.
And the Queen has not slept?
No. She says she gave him a ring once. If he ever wanted forgiveness, he was to send the ring. And he sits there stubbornly with the ring on his finger.
Penelope!
Go. She shall not find you here.
Penelope!
Yes, Your Majesty.
Give me the little book of prayers.
Yes, Your Majesty.
You've been crying.
I heard the clock strike five.
Yes, I heard it. You love him well, my dear?
Yes, Your Majesty.
I love him.
He has never loved me. Yes. Yes, he does love you. I've been jealous of you.
Of me? Poor child.
But he loved you and never me at all.
How do you know?
He told me.
What did he say?
He said I love her dearly. I wanted him for myself and I warned him against you. He laughed at me. He said I love her very dearly.
Well, you tell me this because you want to save him.
No, dear queen, it's true.
This is the end of me. It comes late. I've been a long time learning, but I've learned it now. Life is bitter. Nobody dies happy, queen or no. Will he speak, think you? Will he send for me?
No, not now.
Huh? You see, this is the end of me.
No, no.
Oh, I shall live. I shall walk about and give orders. A horrible while.
The quarter hour. You must send for him. He's as proud as you are.
No. Even now someone comes. It'll be a messenger bearing the ring.
Your Majesty.
Ah, Sir Robert.
Your Majesty, a citizen rabble has gathered to protest the execution of Essex. The captain begs permission to use your guard to disperse them.
Your day, Cecil. I dare say you know that. The snake in the grass endures. And those who are noble, free of soul, valiant and admirable, they go down in the prime.
Madam, the guard is needed at once.
Take my guard. Take it. I thought you brought word from... Wait!
Yes, Your Majesty.
Go call Lord Essex from his cell and bring him thither.
Lord Essex is prepared for execution. The priest has been sent to
him. Bring him here, I say.
As you wish, Your Majesty.
Look here in my face, Penelope. He is so young. Do not be here when he comes, do you mind? You look so young.
Yes, madam. But you... You're beautiful.
Still? I was once. You'd not believe it now.
Oh, yes. You're always beautiful. You've always been.
Go now. He'll come.
Sent for me, or so they said.
Yes.
It would have been kinder to leave me with my thoughts till the axe came down and ended them. You spoil me for death.
Are you so set on dying?
I can't say I care for it. This blood that beats in us has a way of wanting to keep right on. But if one is to die, it's well to go straight toward it.
You must have known I never meant you to die.
I am under sentence from Your Majesty's courts. There's no appeal that I know of. I am found guilty of treason in good evidence and cannot deny it. This treason, I believe, is punishable with death.
God knows I'm proud and bitter, too. Bitter at you with much cause. But I have sent for you. I have spoken first. It's true that you never loved me, isn't it? You were ambitious, and I loved you, and it was the nearest way to power, and you took the nearest way.
Die.
No, no, one moment. This is an hour for truth, if there's ever truth. I'm older than you, but a queen. It was natural you'd flatter me, speak me fair, and I believed you. I'm sorry I believed you. Sorry for you more than for me.
That's true enough. Now may I go? This dying sticks in my mind and makes me poor company, I fear.
It is true. It is true, then.
If you wish to make me tell you how much I used to love you, how much I have longed for you, very well, I'll say it. That's a small victory to win over me now. But take it with the rest.
You did love me?
Yes.
And still do?
Yes, you should know that, I think.
Then why did you not send the ring?
I had thought to wear it as far as my grave.
Since I last saw you, I've waited late at night thinking, tonight the ring will come. But the nights went by somehow like the days, and it never came till the last
day came, and here it is, the last morning. And the chimes beating out the hours.
If I'd tried to hold you to a promise you could not keep, and you had refused me, I should have died much more unhappy than I am now.
I'd have kept my promise. I'd keep it now.
If I offered you this ring...
Yes, even now.
You would set me free, cede back my estates to me, love me as before, give me my place in the state...
All as it was.
And what would happen to your throne?
My throne? Nothing.
Yes. For I'd try to take it from you.
Again! You'd play that game again.
The games one plays are not the games one chooses always. I played for power and lost. But if I had another chance, I think I'd play and win.
Why do you say this?
I say it because it's true. I have loved you. Love you now. But I know myself. I have a weakness for being first wherever I am. I refuse to take pardon from you without warning you of this. And once you know it, pardon becomes impossible.
You do this for me?
Yes, and partly for England, too. You govern England better than I should. I'd lead her into wars, make a great name, perhaps, like Henry V, and leave a legacy of debts and bloodshed after me. You will leave peace, happiness, something secure. A woman governs better than a man, being a natural coward. A coward rules best. And now, may I go? The headsman comes sharp on the hour of 6.
You have an hour yet. It's but struck 5.
It struck 5 some time since.
It cannot go this...
Aye, but it has and will. There's no way out. I've thought every way. Speak frankly. Could you forgive me and keep your throne?
No.
Are you ready to give up your crown to me?
No! It's all I have. Why? Who am I to stand here paltering with a rebel noble? I am Elizabeth, daughter of a king, and you are my subject. What does this mean, you standing here eye to eye with me, your liege? You whom I made and gave you all that you have, you an upstart, defying me to grant pardon lest you should sweep me from power and take my place from me. I tell you, if Christ, his blood ran streaming from the heavens for a sign that I should stay my hand, you die for this.
If we had met some other way, we might have been happy. But there's an empire between us. Remember, I'm to die, so I can tell you truly. There's nothing in all the earth I'm very loath to leave. Save you. Yet if I live, I'll be your death, or you'll be mine.
Give me the ring.
No.
Give me the ring. I'd rather you killed me than I killed you.
It's better that I should die young than live long and rule not well.
I should know that.
Is it not?
Yes.
Goodbye, then.
But I'm old. I'm old. I could be young with you, but now I'm old. I know now how it will be without you. The sun will be empty and circle round an empty earth, and I will be queen of emptiness and death. Ah, why could you not have loved me enough to give me your love and let me keep as I was?
I know not. I only know I could not.
Lord Essex, take my kingdom. It is yours. I'm old. I am old.
just heard the Best Plays production of Elizabeth the Queen by Maxwell Anderson, starring Eva Le Gallien with Richard Waring. And here again is John Chapman.
Those were brave times, and this was a great romance. Thank you, Miss Le Gallien, Mr. Waring and company, for playing it so beautifully. And now for next week's playbill. Our best play will be one of my favorites, The Mad Woman of Chaillot. It's a funny and ironic fantasy involving some very strange inhabitants of Paris. Aileen McMahon will play the Mad Woman. This is Chapman saying goodbye until next Friday.
The 1951-1952 edition of the Best Plays volumes published by Don Mead and Company and edited by John Chapman is now on sale at all bookstores. This edition includes such fine Broadway successes as Mrs. McThing, I'm a Camera, Point of No Return, and The Four Poster. Heard in tonight's cast with Miss Le Gallien and Mr. Waring were Joan Loring, Horace Braham, Guy Spall, Edwin Jerome, Philip Orniff, Piper Francis, Arthur Hughes, Lester Fletcher, and Cliff Owen. Best Place is an NBC production supervised by William Welch and directed by Edward King. Fred Collins speaking. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.